way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The jury has decided Zacharias Moussaoui is eligible for the death penalty over September 11th. Live now to Alexandria, Virginia, CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is at the courthouse.
Moussaoui has said he wants to become a martyr. He's now a big step closer to execution. That's certainly what Rosemary Dillard wants.
This man has no soul. He has no conscience. So what else could we ask for than this?
Her husband, Eddie, died on American Flight 77, which struck the Pentagon on September 11th. The verdict triggers a second phase of this sentencing trial. To convince the jury Moussaoui should get the death penalty, prosecutors plan emotional 9/11 victim testimony and presentations, including chilling audio and videotapes from that day and a recitation of the names of the nearly 3,000 people killed. Live in Alexandria, Virginia, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
A long line of thunderstorms stretching from Illinois to Arkansas really picked up steam last night as it hit Tennessee, and one supercell spawned as many as three very powerful tornadoes. 27 people are dead, all but four of them in Tennessee. Kurt Pickering at the state's Emergency Management Agency.
The death toll is the troubling thing. The number that is that we've arrived at now is more than we've ever lost in any one weather event in the state of Tennessee, as far as I know, ever, and certainly since I've been with FEMA.
At least one of those twisters was Force 3, with winds up to 200 miles an hour. Congress has been critical. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says the Red Cross has critiqued itself and promises changes.
This is a major shift for the Red Cross to fund some shelters run by others, but it comes after complaints the organization failed to serve some poor minority areas after Katrina, areas where the Red Cross had no local chapter or real presence. The organization says it will now work with religious groups and others to provide money and training so they can run shelters too.
NCAA Finals, Florida versus UCLA. CBS's Peter King is in Gator Country.
Students started arriving here at the Swamp Sports Bar some 10 hours before tip-off. Some brought books to study. Others have been doing what they usually do here.
We got a beer in front of us, and that's all we need.
Many blew off classes to get a good seat for tonight.
Missing my law school classes right now. I do have a 4 o'clock, but I probably won't be making that.
Financial management.
I miss it, American history.
They're hoping the Gators make a little history of their own, bringing Florida its first ever college basketball championship. If they do, Swamp General Manager Frank Vallanti predicts
insanity.
Peter King, CBS News, Gainesville, Florida.
Is Christian Science Monitor reporter Jill Carroll happy to be home? Give a listen to her trying to talk to her colleagues at the Monitor.
It's like a family, and so I just wanted to say how much I'm overwhelmed by how wonderful the paper has been to my family and to everyone.
82 days under the guns of terrorists in Iraq, free again. Yeah, she's happy. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 36 points to close at about 11,145. The Nasdaq gave up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, it's Judy from Northwind Traders, the region's leading gourmet food superstores. We've got some really terrific deals on fresh produce this week that I want to tell you about. For example, fresh strawberries, $2.50 a pound. Hothouse medium-sized tomatoes, $1.49 a pound. And large artichokes, $2 each. Good stuff. Now, one warning, we may not have any of these items in our stores. We've had a lot of trouble with our complicated computer system lately, processing orders and deliveries and so on. So to be honest, we're not exactly sure what will be in the store near you. But why not pop in and surprise yourself? It's part of the fun of shopping at your Northwind Traders Superstore.
Even some successful businesses could use help with supply chain dynamics. That's why there's Microsoft Dynamics. Powerful, people-ready business management solutions that can deliver an easy-to-use system that unites even your most far-flung supply chain links. Plus, Microsoft Dynamics can help you with CRM and financial management. Visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
The price of admission to the airliner is just one cost of the flight these days.
You may not miss the airline meal, no longer presumed to be included on your ticket, but you at least know your ticket includes a soft drink, snack, and a pillow, right? Air Travelers Association President David Stempler says no, travelers don't want that.
They've told the airlines with their purchasing patterns that they're only interested in low fares, low fares, and low fares.
So airlines, financially strapped as they are starting to charge $1 for a soft drink, snacks, or pillow, $5 to $10 to make a reservation on the phone, and you want a real ticket on paper, $20 to $50. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Starfish regenerate severed arms, but humans can't do that yet, and it may be a yet, too. Scientists have rebuilt a human bladder, not once, but in 7 young patients using live tissue grown in the lab. The research team at Children's Hospital in Boston says someday, regenerating hearts, kidneys, and other complex organs just may become feasible. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the good stuff! Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after a $1.50 mail-in rebate. It's the best way to remove grease and grime from auto, lawnmower, marine, and tractor engines. Whether you're detailing your engine or just cleaning it up, Gunk Engine Bright will get the job done. So come to Napa and get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD.
What is going on? Monday, April 3rd. Patrick Morrow is my name. I'm sitting in for Peter. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, it's April 3rd. It's the beginning of the baseball season. Maybe you're into chemically enhanced athletes. All sorts of interesting dates from April the 3rd. The year 33, the crucifixion of Christ. Seriously. And never has the memory of one guy been exploited 2,000 years later. How about 1865? The Union forces capture Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy, if you do your history. Martin Luther King gave his mountaintop speech on April 3rd, 1968. He'd be dead 24 hours later. Conspiracy theorists can have some fun with that one. Also, 10 years ago today, an Air Force 737 carrying Secretary of Commerce Ron Brown crashing in Croatia, killed everyone aboard, including Brown. I think conspiracy theorists do have some fun with that one. But we got a big show coming your way. A number of people are going to be joining us. We'll talk immigration a little bit later in the program. There's the House bill. There's the Senate bill. They're quite a bit different, and we will discuss those. Also discuss about whether there's even an issue when it comes to immigration. I mean, this is something that crops up every few years. Is it really an issue, or is it something that distracts people from talking about Iraq and the administration? Could be a possibility. Also, we got a guy coming on that will talk about veterans from the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan, whatever you want to call them, that are going to be running for office. I mean, it used to be, you look back over our history, a lot of the presidents were veterans of war just recently that they started to weasel their way out of it. But we will see if we go back in that direction. But a number of things, including your phone calls that are going to be coming up. You can join us at 899-5792 if you're listening in the 831. Also, toll-free, 888-579-2540. And we will be talking a little bit about elections also. I mean, I think we all believe that public officials should be accountable to voters instead of to lobbyists, the people with the deep pockets, the Jack Abramoffs, people like that. Pretty obvious, but we're going to have someone come on from the California Clean Money Campaign to discuss that a little bit. But if you're a frequent listener to the program, you know that every week at this time, we do our section on Media Matters for America, MediaMatters.org. And joining us from Media Matters is Dennis Yedwab, the Chief Communications Strategist. Dennis, how are you?
How are you today?
I am doing well. Happy to be filling in for Peter on this program.
And, excellent.
Yeah, happy to be talking to you. And you guys certainly serve a very important purpose out there. You kind of keep people. I mean, it's funny because a lot of people, I think they think that they're getting informed. They think they're finding out what's going on in the world.
Right.
But, I mean, actually, there's so much misinformation out there. There's so many things skewed and slanted in so many different directions. It's awesome that Media Matters, people like you, actually notice this and notify the public, those of us who are willing to go out and check it out, what's really going on. And I know this week there was some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it was quite the week. The immigration bills provided us some fodder. Rush Limbaugh always gives us good stuff. Cynthia McKinney's little incident over at the Capitol building provided us, provided right-wing talk show hosts with another day to, say crazy stuff. So we've had a nice week.
Yeah, definitely. You can't root for much more than that. Let's start out with something that happened. I guess it was on the Chris Matthews show. Republicans, a right to fear, and seeing a majority Latino population. And I'm not saying that immigration isn't an issue and it isn't something to discuss, but I mean, it's really taken center stage the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I mean, this has been a topic of commentary on all over the conservative media environment, and there's been a lot of crazy stuff said. I think Matthew's comments here talking about the right to fear a cultural change, and he was talking to Amy Goodman of Pacifica Radio, and he asked her as she was talking about, she says, well, do you live in a Mexican neighborhood? I mean, it's a little crazy.
Should we hear the clip?
Absolutely.
Let it roll there.
Chris, I think we have to have a comprehensive, humane immigration policy. But I think right now what the Republicans who passed the House bill, for example, are afraid of, they're afraid of the fact that in a couple dozen years, we're going to see a majority Latino population in Arizona, Texas, in Florida, in New Mexico. And that's what the Republicans are so against, that they want to build a fence.
Wait a minute, why shouldn't they fear that? They have a right to fear that. Cultural change is not something any society accepts easily or even with any kind of positive feelings about it. Why would anybody accept a cultural change in their own state?
Wait, guys, I'm the one.
No, you're not even to answer this question. Why is it wrong of anybody to say, I don't want the town I grew up in to become overwhelmingly Mexican?
Think about the United States as a country of immigrants.
Of people
course. Who come here for refuge all over the world, and there is no reason to stop that tradition now. It only enhances what this country could represent. I am not saying that anyone at any time should be able to come over the border. I'm saying we have to have a comprehensive discussion about this that is not led by punitive measures that criminalize human beings.
Well, do you live in a Mexican neighborhood?
I live in an integrated neighborhood.
No, I'm asking a particular question.
People.
Now, let me ask you this question.
For long enough there, and it is amazing that you have people that don't seem to realize the history of the country. I mean, you go back to, when the Civil War was breaking out, if you were an Irishman living in New York, your life wasn't so hot. Probably not that much better than some of the people that are coming north.
Yeah, and when you look at the protests of the immigration bill, you see that the protesters are carrying American flags, and America has a history of supporting immigrants. We're the nation of immigrants, and it's interesting that that Matthew's comment here is so kind of out there as an attack.
Definitely, that's not deviating that far from the norm in regards to him. But let's move on here. We've got several of these we want to get to on the O'Reilly factor. Michelle Malkin, a female, declaring that the Latinos protesting the recent House bill aimed at cracking down on the immigrants believe in what? Reconquista, or the theory that the American Southwest belongs to Mexico. And this is something that's gotten quite a bit of play in the last few days.
That is absolutely right. Michelle Malkin talked about that the vast majority of mainstream Hispanic politicians, in fact, support Reconquista, which would basically mean that the Southwest of the United States would be returned to Mexico, which, of course, isn't really the argument of immigration activists, but in many ways is an argument of white supremacists when they're arguing against immigration. So it's kind of an interesting flip that Malkin does there.
Okay, let's hear that clip.
Joining us now from Edmonton, Canada, Dr. Raul Inoosa, who teaches international development at UCLA. From Raleigh, North Carolina, syndicated columnist Michelle Malkin, the author of the book Invasion, How America Still Welcomes Terrorists, Criminals, and Other Foreign Menaces to Our Shore. All right, Michelle, begin with you. The rhetoric is getting ratcheted up. Now, Ms. Vander Heuvel, who you saw or heard on the ABC News program, is an extreme left-wing person. But, you know, the personal attacks, fast and furious, and then there's the Mexican flag. What say you?
Well, Katrina Vandenheuvel is a shameless smear merchant, and she's also very clueless and blind. She underscores something that I've noted for a long time about the far left, and that is their own blindness towards racism and ethnic separatism on the part of politically incorrect minorities within their own ranks. While she was smearing Congressman Pancredo, who has done nothing more than insist that we enforce our borders and that the federal government fulfill its obligation to provide for the common defense, while she was doing that, take a look at what was happening in Los Angeles. Just open your eyes, Ms. Vandenheuvel. It was the far left, the open borders activists, who were the ones who were the extremists, who are the ones advocating militant ethnic separatism. This is our stolen land, Chicano power. You had folks with Ocotlan t-shirts mugging for the cameras in front of City Hall. These are people who believe that the American Southwest belongs to Mexico, that we don't have a right to enforce our borders, and who do nothing more than try to sabotage our sovereignty.
All right, that is enough of that. What's the problem there?
Well, the problem is, first of all, later in the clip, she goes on to talk about how this is an issue of mainstream Hispanic politicians all support that, when in fact that's absolutely not true. And if you do a Google search of the terms Reconquista and Aztlan, one of the top searches you'll get is, or will send you to a white supremacist website. This is a white supremacist talking point that the activists, pro-immigration activists, want to give the Southwest back to Mexico. That's just not true. That's over the top, and that's being used to attack the people who are, you know, these hundreds of thousands of people who are going out into the street to protest this harsh and ridiculous immigration bill on the House side.
All right, we are going to talk a little bit more with Dennis when we come back, but we do have to step aside right now. But on the other side, talk more with Dennis. Also, we will talk about the gentleman from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. It's not really, doesn't lean to the left or to the right, but just supports veterans who want to run for office. And we will talk about some of the guys and gals in 06 who might be in charge. We're also going to talk about the CaliforniaClean.org, trying to get big money out of these elections. It's very important. And anybody feel that earthquake Saturday morning if you're down in the Monterey area? It was on the San Andreas Fault pretty early, but we're going to be talking to Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team, a little bit about preparedness. And, I mean, this is something that if you live in the area, you certainly think about a lot. Although in like 100 years, we've had two big ones. And meanwhile, like if you live in Tennessee last night and that tornado came through, you're probably not feeling so good. But we're going to talk about that a whole lot more. We're going to take your phone calls too. 899-5792 in the 831. Toll free 888-579-2540 if you're listening up outside the 831. But we will continue with more with Dennis Yadwab, Chief Communications Strategist for MediaMatters.org. Patrick Morrow is my name, sitting in for Peter. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
All right, we're back at you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Patrick Morrow sitting in for a vacationing Peter B. And with us, though, from MediaMatters.com, Dennis Yadwab, Chief Communications Strategist. And you can check out MediaMatters.org. It's really an outstanding site. We wanted to get to a few more clips. What would the segment be without something from Mr. Limbaugh, right?
Yeah, our good friend Rush. He provides us with a lot of stuff on our site. We found him commenting on the unfortunate incident over there at Duke University with the lacrosse team. And speaking as an embarrassed Duke alumnus, I can say this is I'm really excited that Rush was talking about it, but he referred to the woman who was attacked in an unpleasant way.
Yeah, why don't we hear that?
Yeah. Why is it, do you think, that you haven't heard hardly anything from Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton about the whole immigration thing? I mean, the silence is deafening from
the
NAACP.
They're busy. The Reverend Jackson,
is in New Orleans. He's leading a big march there tomorrow. The march is, what is it called? The March for the Right to Return, a protected vote in Reconstruction. He's trying to, they got problems down in New Orleans. They don't have voter base. And Sharpton's working on a New Orleans deal, too. He's trying to figure out how he can get involved in the deal down there at Duke with a lacrosse team, yeah. supposedly raped some hoes.
But I don't think they're very happy about all of it.
All right. What's the point of that?
You know, he eventually, a caller called him later on, and he sort of apologized for using the term, but not really. He didn't really explain it. It's a sad story, no matter what's going on down there. It's like, there's been an attack on this woman who, was allegedly raped by a bunch of members of the Duke lacrosse team. It would strike me that referring to her as a hoe is not exactly showing any sympathy to a victim of what could be a heinous crime.
Not really, but it's always interesting when the people who report the news are overcome by their egos, but it happens quite a bit. I think we've heard from a couple of them even earlier this hour. But and finally, we got to get to this. Representative McKinney, who had a little bit of trouble with security getting into Congress. Who knows? I'm sure there's definitely two sides to that story, but we do have an interesting clip here. Should we just roll the clip? Let's roll the clip. Let it speak for itself.
Sure.
For instance, or for goodness sakes, jump in, and I'm going to just start out with something controversial. I saw Cynthia McKinney's new hairdo. Have you seen it, Belinda?
No.
She looks like a ghetto slut.
Well, how is it?
It's just... it's hideous.
All right, that's enough. Who is this guy?
So this is Neil Bortz, who is a radio talk show. She's a nationally syndicated radio talk show host based in Atlanta, who actually has co-written a book with a member of Congress, Representative John Linder from down there, about taxes. But he decided that it would be a good idea to attack another congressman, Cynthia McKinney, for the way she looked and why she got...
He was so proud of himself the way when he said... ghetto slut. You could tell he was just brimming with pleasure.
Yeah, and it's horrible. And he sort of repeated it again the next day, or a similar type comment. And he did today. Finally, he issued an apology. But that's 3 days later. And he's been attacked. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus and the head of the Democratic Caucus, Jim Clyburn, have all issued press releases criticizing him.
Unbelievable. But hey, you guys do a great job.
Thanks.
And thanks for pointing some of this stuff out. And really, really good to talk to you, Dennis.
Great talking to you, Patrick.
Okay, very good. Yes.
Great.
We say so long to Dennis Yedweb, the chief communications strategist for MediaMatters.com. They're a not-for-profit progressive research and information center dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. And we know there's quite a bit of that out there. But coming up next, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to be talking to John Schultz, the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of American Political Action Committee, a group that helps veterans get into politics, or helps those that want to get into politics, gives them a little bit of backing. And think about it. I mean, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, JFK, all these people were veterans. But recently, not so much the case. But we will talk to him. Also, we're going to talk earthquakes coming up next hour. Should be interesting. Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team is going to be joining us. And we want to hear from someone who actually felt the quake on Sunday morning, centered in King City, I guess it was. But we got quite a bit coming up. And we will continue. Patrick Morrow is my name. Our toll-free number, 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has 3 rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ball game. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
And what is going on? Back at you. Patrick Morrow sitting in for Peter. This is the Peter B. Collins Show on a Monday. It's kind of drying out, which is nice. People keep saying this might be what it's like living up in the Pacific Northwest. I used to live up there, and it wasn't this bad as we've been experiencing for the last month or so. But anyway, we're going to be talking about immigration and immigration reform shortly. We'll talk about some of the key provisions in the House bill versus the Senate bill. This is something that you should know about. And it's something that a lot of people are talking about, and it's something that's going to be and going to continue being a political hot button. I mean, nobody's going to be able to run for office without some opinion, some plan, some implementation on immigration and whether it's to distract people from what's really going on in the world. I don't know. But nevertheless, it is a hot issue. And we will talk about that coming up a little bit later in the program. But joining us right now is John Soltz. John is the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. And really excited to have John on the show. John, how are you? Thanks for joining us on a Monday.
I'm great. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing well. And I think it's interesting that if you look back over the history of this country and the political history of this country and names like John F. Kennedy and Dwight Eisenhower, Abe Lincoln, all the way back, George Washington, all these guys were veterans and served in the military. And I know that recently our presidents maybe found a way out of it or whatever your theory is on that. But you wonder if we won't get back to a time where that is something that people expect or something that's a little bit more important, just considering what's going on geopolitically.
Well, I think clearly the number one issue in the country right now is the war in Iraq. And there's nobody better to debate it in Congress and get us off some of the basic talking points we've been on in reference to cut and run or stay the course is those veterans who've returned from the war in Iraq to continue a sense of their leadership and Congress. More importantly, I think you hit on the larger point, which is leadership. And this is, the first time really since World War II we've seen this massive amount of leadership return from a war and want to continue their public service in the political arena.
And let's talk about some of these guys. I know that the thing that's interesting about your group is you're not slanted to the left or to the right. You're just about getting behind veterans who want to serve in political office. Is it ever difficult sort of straddling the fence a little bit?
Well, I don't straddle the fence right or wrong, left or right per se, Republican or Democrat. We have a list of policy credentials that all six of our endorsed candidates have supported, and that's what we care about. We care about developing a victory strategy in Iraq with hard benchmarks and actually supporting the veteran and not just talking about it. All six of the candidates that we've endorsed agree with our policies and have signed on for it. I mean, these are people that are strong leaders. You have Tammy Duckworth, who had just won her primary and was shot down as a Black Hawk pilot, but was also pursuing her PhD in international relations prior to her deployment to Iraq. You have Andrew Duck, who was an intelligence officer and is now an intelligence contractor. You've got, Andrew Horn, who was an attorney and served as a civil affairs officer in Iraq and is also a veteran of Desert Storm. So these are the citizen soldier who have represented their communities in their living districts that they live in and have represented the American military overseas, and their leadership is what this is really about, and their ability to take their experiences in combat and articulate them in Congress.
Well, and I think that's what's kind of interesting, because I know some veterans have come back and they've wanted to get into public office, and they certainly had the experience of going to war behind them, but maybe some of the other key issues that were maybe not more important, but certainly right up there, they didn't have the grasp on. I know Paul Hackett comes to mind, and I believe there have been some others. But I think the interesting thing about everyone that's involved in your group is most of these people had a pretty serious resume, a lot of it bordering on political, but certainly a background beyond simply just having gone over to Afghanistan or Iraq. But really, they have more to offer than just that.
Absolutely. One of the leading reasons that General Wesley Clark is the chairman of our board of advisors is because I think he understood some of his early challenges when he ran for the presidency, sort of transferring his military leadership and experience into the civilian arena. And I'll take General Clark, for example, who was the NATO commander, but more importantly, Joe Sestak, who's running in Pennsylvania 7. Joe Sestak is a retired admiral. He, is a man who exemplifies this type of leadership. When he was the head of the battle group, of over 30 ships, he commanded over 15,000 troops engaged in combat operations. And when you're dealing with 15,000 troops and you're the leader of them, you're dealing with all of their families and all of the education issues. So when you get to that level that he's been in the military, you've got a sense of leadership, ensuring that everyone has the proper TRICARE health care coverage, that's authorized to them in the military, assuring that the public school system or the Department of Defense school system is working appropriately within your command. So you deal with all these issues when you command soldiers, and it's just more of a matter of us helping them get that early institutional support they need and direct financing to get them started and help be a connector to them to the right, you know, people to help lead their campaigns.
Now, how supportive is the military of these people? I know it would obviously vary each candidate individually, but I would imagine that some of these people are saying things that maybe don't necessarily jive with the company line.
Well, I wouldn't quite say, you know, what is the company line? 75% of soldiers in Iraq right now don't know the strategy. You know, we had a situation last week where the Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, said there have been thousands of tactical errors in Iraq, but strategically it's been the right decision. And, you know, when she says things like that, basically what she says is that's the soldiers' fault. And, you know, the soldiers right now aren't bought into the partisan rhetoric from either side of cut and run or stay the course. And what these six candidates are offering, whether it's Patrick Murphy or David Harris in Texas, is an idea of what really needs to happen for us to be successful in Iraq. I mean, these are not the kind of people that are going to go to Washington, D.C. and vote for the war and against the troops, like so many members of the who work inside the Capitol, who have voted to deny Guard and Reservist health care and these types of issues. So the military is overwhelmingly supportive of their camaraderie and their brothers and sisters who serve with them in harm's way.
I mean, how much of a division is there between what the administration wants to do and is trying to do and is forging ahead and doing versus the guy that's on the ground?
Well, you know, the guy that's on the ground is truly the expert in the situation. This is a war that's fought village to village in Iraq, where we deal with sheikhs. It's not, you know, we've lacked a political strategic goal from the beginning of this operation. We have no idea of what success is going to be in a quantified stance, how much of the Iraqi army we need to train, how many elections we're going to be there for. What we have in Iraq right now, and we call this in any military op order, is the decisive point in the battle where we have an opportunity as a country to engage the Sunni minority that have been left out of the constitutional process by the Shia. If that does not happen, the American soldier and the American Marine on the ground have no chance of success because the Shia are going to, you know, control the future oil revenue, and the Sunni are going to have no vested process to be in the new democracy, and are not going to participate and continue this type of insurgency as long as there's a presence there. Although training the Iraqi military is extremely important, the answers in Iraq right now are political, and no one knows this better than the soldiers who fought there.
Yeah, and you mentioned Condoleezza Rice. Interesting to hear her on Sunday saying that. Well, they're growing impatient. They're a little upset that people over there can't put together a new government. I mean, then again, as the top U.S. diplomat, as the mouthpiece for this administration, just ridiculous things are going to come out of your mouth. But yeah, no, I loved what you referenced. She went on and on about the thousands of mistakes. But I mean, yeah, it's at some point. I mean, how many thousands of mistakes do you have to make before it adds up to an admission of just flawed strategic policy?
Sure. From a tactical standpoint, the American soldier on the ground has done a tremendous policy or done tremendous work. I mean, you largely have an administration that's for war and has voted against the troops. The president has decided that at a time when our military is overextended, that he wants to cut the size of our National Guard, destroying our ability to respond first here at home. You have an administration that's voted for war and voted to deny veterans their due benefits. President Bush wants to slash the 2008 veterans budget, which is taking money away from people like Tammy Duckworth, who he voted to send to war and now has lost both of her legs. When you talk about the tactical success on the ground, the military to overcome the threat of these improvised explosive devices, the military's ability on the ground as young leaders to transition what they've been taught to fight the Soviet military to fighting a ground insurgency, the military's done a phenomenal job. Now, the war lies in the hands, success, and failure of the Secretary of State in Condoleezza Rice and her ability to take the demand and the will away from the Sunni to support this low-level insurgency. And this is the type of argument that we think, you know, Andrew Duck and Tammy Duckworth and Patrick Murphy and Andrew Horn and Admiral Joe Sestak can help bring to Washington, D.C., which is a fresh, articulate debate about the war and actually develop what we need in Iraq, which is a strategy.
These are obviously very intelligent, very capable people. People that have been to war. Well, talk a little bit about the I don't know if it's a conflict necessarily, but just the fact that we're dealing with a war that's growing increasingly less popular. I mean, I don't know if you can ever use the word popular to describe it, but people in this country, while they're focused on immigration, don't really like what's going on over there. Do you think people are receptive? I mean, do you think those type of people will be receptive to listening to someone who comes with this platform and is standing up there with a uniform on?
I think what's most important is to understand that this is a local issue. A lot of times people will say, oh, Patrick Murphy and Joe Sestak, they've got tough races. Both of them are running in districts that are favorable in their party's registration edges. Both of them are districts that John Kerry won in 2004. What's most important is that the Pennsylvania National Guard has been one of the most National Guard that's been hit most on deployments. And people often say, well, there's these other issues of immigration or highways. But when soldiers from the National Guard deploy, you take the first, line responders, you take the firefighters and the police officers and the teachers away from the schools and away from, their duty and the fire halls, and you send them overseas because the threat over there is supposedly more dangerous than the threat here at home. And when soldiers from the National Guard get killed, they all come from a 20, 15-mile radius. And what that's done by deploying so much of the National Guard and Reserve, it's brought this back to every community in America. And people can politically try to talk about taxes, and they can politically try to talk about immigration. But in the end, the number one issue in America is security. And the number one problem for this president right now is that he lacks no victory strategy in Iraq. And that's something that all these candidates can talk about, and that will lead them to success in November.
All right. This is good stuff. We were talking to John Schultz, the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. And John, hold on just a sec. We do need to step aside, take a little bit of break, but we will talk a little bit more about this. And John mentioned security. Obviously, the terrorism comes to mind. We think about what's going on abroad. We think about certainly what happened here almost 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. We think about our borders a little bit, and we will discuss this when we return. Also, our toll-free number, 888-579-2540. If you're in the 831-899-5792, did anybody feel that earthquake on Saturday morning? And it kind of got me to thinking. I mean, I think about earthquakes every day, pretty much. But April the 12th, it'll be officially the 100-year anniversary of the 1906 quake that destroyed San Francisco. And we're going to have Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team joining us. You can go to www.quake.usgs.gov. There's all sorts of animations, really cool stuff, preparedness handbook. Are you prepared if the big one hits? We'll talk a little bit more about this. I'm not trying to be an alarmist here or anything. Also, Beverly Bean is going to be joining us. Beverly is with the she's with CaliforniaClean.org, and we will talk to her about voter reform. Immigration. It just won't go away. We just keep talking about that. We'll talk more about that. And again, we will take your phone calls a little bit later in the show. 899-5792 in the 831. Toll free if you're out of the 831. 888-579-2540. And we'll talk more with John Schultz coming up next. Patrick Morrow's my name, sitting in for Peter. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
And what is going on? Welcome back to the show. A Monday on the Peter B. Collins Show. Patrick Morrow is my name, sitting in for the vacationing Peter B. And we'll talk earthquake coming up. We'll talk about 9/11 and Hollywood, which is going to be an issue very shortly. But with us still is John Soltz, the executive director for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee, trying to get a number of candidates elected here in 2006. And I guess an interesting question, John, are you working to get anybody who's currently in office reelected?
You know, first and foremost, as a veteran of the Iraq War, our number one priority is to get other veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan War elected to office. So we're only opening our endorsements currently to people who qualify for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. All that information on our endorsement criterion and who we've endorsed is can be found online on our website, which is iavapac.org. And that's our number one priority, because there's not one person who's debating this war who's actually fought in it. Our second priority, although we're not going to endorse any other candidates, is to hold accountable elected politicians who have voted for the war and against the troops. And there's a lot of them. They voted for the war, but to deny, you know, the National Guard, 25% of which doesn't have health care, the health care that they deserve. And we're going to do the attacks in 2006, and it's not going to be attacks from the Democratic Party. It's not going to be attacks from the Republican Party. It's going to be attacked by the Iraq War veteran, because it's about time some people are held accountable for, you know, wrapping themselves in the American flag and claiming to be the arbiter of patriotism when the reality is they vote against the troops every chance they get.
Who are some of the people that you would refer to as maybe most on message that are supporting you and your type of candidates? I'm talking about people that are in public office now.
Well, I'm obviously going to take every chance I get to plug my candidates, because they clearly have served in Iraq and they support the troops. And when we make the decision to come after elected politicians that have voted against the troops, I'm sure it'll be well known and well seen. But primarily, we're looking really hard at people who have voted against health care for the Guard and Reserve. It will cost us $5 billion to put health care into the Guard and Reserve, 25% of which don't have health care right now, that's been overwhelmingly deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan and is dependent upon here at home to immediately respond to Hurricane Katrina. And if you're talking about a military readiness issue, if you're talking about these things, you need to talk about why we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars on missile systems in the sky that don't work, yet people have voted against, you know, extending health care to these American heroes. We're for the, you know, increased size of the Army. We're for increased pay for the military, so we keep our military readiness at the highest level it is. And if we have to make a decision between high-end weapon systems and the American soldier, you know, we're going to pick the American soldier every time.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and this is certainly on message with what you're talking about, but you kind of look across the board, and it seems like most of the veterans, most of the people who served over there who want to get into political office are on. I know that you're nonpartisan, but they tend to be on the left side, and it seems like those on the right are almost having trouble finding people that served over there that want to represent the right in public office, and that obviously speaks volumes about what's going on.
I don't know if there's people on the left or people on the right. What I do know is that these people like Admiral Sestak, who's a vice admiral in the Navy, felt so committed after 30 years in the United States Navy that he felt he should go back home to the Pennsylvania 7th Congressional District and run for Congress because of the problems that we have in the military, because how the active and reserve component militaries are being absolutely decimated by our current administration. And they've chose to run for public office. What political party they represent really isn't as relevant as the fact that they are objecting to the status quo we have right now.
Right. All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a phone call for you, John. We do have people that are interested, and we will we'll go to the telephone, 831-899-5792, toll-free 888-579-2540. We're talking to John Soltz, Executive Director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. And let's go to Dave from Humboldt. Dave, what do you got for us?
Well, my main issue right now, and I hope you guys will be aware, and maybe you already are, the GOP's way of winning elections is cheating, election fraud. And they do it in a variety of ways, but primarily they do it with riggable voting machines. So where you have good candidates that are running, I would strongly urge that you be aware of that and that they not just politely concede like John Kerry did. If there's a chip question, if they've been cheated, and get it investigated. You see, you can't ask for recounts. They've got these machines designed so they keep no records. And
the good folks at Diebold.
Yes. You know, a wonderful thing has just happened. Hugo Chavez bought the other one, Sequoia, and he's no fan of the cons. So we may end up with three times as many votes in this country as there are voting people. But
all right, we'll keep our eye on the voter machines, Dave. Thank you for thank you very much for the call. And before we let you go, John, who of all your candidates, who's in for the toughest race? Who do you think is really in for a brawl?
Well, I think they're all in for a brawl. They're all running against incumbents, with the exception of Tammy Duckworth. Her race is open, but we feel confident in every case. Tammy Duckworth is running an independent open seat, so we feel that we can pull that one in, you know, her corner. You know, we feel very strongly about the two races in Pennsylvania, Patrick Murphy's and Admiral Sestak's, both are districts that voted for John Kerry in 2004. And we feel really strong about in Andrew Horn in Louisville, Kentucky, which is also a district that has a Democratic voting registration edge. And we feel excellent about all six of our candidates, and we feel that all of them can be successful in 2006 and create this overarching, you know, theme of reality in Iraq and understanding why we need a victory strategy so we can bring our soldiers home with the honor and the credit that they've deserved.
All right, John. Hey, good stuff, and I appreciate you taking the time, and good luck to your candidates and your organization, and we will talk to you down the road.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. John Soltz, again, the executive director from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America Political Action Committee. Yeah, I don't know. Are we going to get back to a point in time where we expect our public officials to have served? I mean, maybe not. I don't know how old you are. I'm 37 years old. But maybe the younger generation, if they even care, based on what has happened and the fact that there's 130,000 troops over there, maybe it won't fly if you weaseled your way out of military service. It's possible. But you know what? Our first hour is pretty much done. Coming up, though, we got good stuff. Steve Walter, U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team, is going to be joining us. Did anybody feel the 4.3 quake near King City on Saturday? Anyone? And we're creeping towards that 100-year anniversary of the big one, 1906. We'll talk a little bit about earthquakes coming up next hour. I'm looking forward to that. And also, Beverly Bean is going to be joining us from the California Clean Money Campaign. I mean, don't we all think that the public officials should be accountable to the voters instead of the Jack Abramoffs? And that seems like a pretty obvious question. We will talk about that coming up. And also, we'll talk immigration reform, the House bill, the Senate bill. It's all coming up. Patrick Morrow's my name, sitting in for Peter B. on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
Don't give up the fight.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinkertoys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinkertoys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinkertoys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A verdict in the Zacharias Moussaoui case.
He said before he wants to die a martyr, and he's now a lot closer to a death sentence.
A medical breakthrough. Patients get new organs grown in the lab.
This is done very much like baking a layered cake, if you will.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The verdict came about 3 hours ago at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
1 week after bragging he was a key player in the September 11th attacks, Zacharias Moussaoui is a step closer to the ultimate punishment. A jury of 9 men and 3 women says he's eligible for the death penalty. If he's shaken, it didn't show in court, says CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis.
He sat in a defiant pose with his legs stretched out into the courtroom. Then after the jury had left, Moussaoui yelled out in the courtroom, "Never get my blood. God curse you all."
Next, emotional testimony to try to convince this jury Moussaoui should die, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Jurors will be forced by prosecutors to revisit 9/11. It will wash over the courtroom. The feds will replay chilling audio tapes and videotapes of victims from that day, and jurors will see enormous models of the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, all in an effort to convince the jury that Moussaoui's role in 9/11 requires the death sentence.
Rosemary Dillard's husband, Eddie, was on the plane that struck the Pentagon. Her verdict is in. Moussaoui deserves death.
It's not just for my husband. It's about what he did to the United States.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
The Supreme Court today rejected the appeal of Jose Padilla, the U.S. citizen who was held for 3 years as an enemy combatant. His status changed in January when he was indicted on terrorism charges in the civilian criminal justice system. Padilla's attorney, Jonathan Fryman, says Justice Anthony Kennedy left the door open for another appeal if Padilla becomes an enemy combatant again.
We're disappointed, of course, that the Supreme Court didn't decide to resolve the issue right now. We do think that the question of whether the president has the power to detain American citizens seized in civilian settings in the United States indefinitely without criminal charge or trial is an important one.
Now this.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser-drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can
I mean,
he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Medical research now offers the hope of organ replacement without a donor. Dr. Anthony Atala, who led the team at Children's Hospital in Boston, says they successfully rebuilt the bladders of 7 young patients using live tissue grown in the lab. They used a mold.
You basically take cells and you seat them onto this mold one layer at a time. After the mold is fully seated, you're putting this back and forth into this incubator, and 7 weeks from the time that you actually start with the small piece of tissue from the patient, the biopsy, it is ready to be implanted back into the patient.
Until now, doctors have only been able to grow simpler tissues such as skin, bone, and cartilage. This is the first time they've created a complex human organ. There's been a spike in American casualties in Iraq. The U.S. military says 4 troops were killed yesterday by hostile fire in Al-Anbar province. And in that same area, a U.S. Marine truck was swept away by a flash flood, killing at least 5 service personnel. 3 others are missing. In Baghdad, people were leaving a Shiite mosque after evening prayers when a truck bomb exploded outside, killing at least 10 and wounding 30. Journalist Jill Carroll, freed last week by kidnappers in Iraq, had an emotional homecoming today at the Christian Science Monitor in Boston.
It's like a family, and so I just want to say how much I'm overwhelmed by how wonderful the paper has been to my family and to everyone.
She was reunited there with her parents and twin sister. U.S. Capitol Police have asked the U.S. attorney in Washington to issue an arrest warrant for Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. She scuffled last week with a U.S. Capitol Police officer who tried to detain the Georgia Democrat. McKinney wasn't wearing her congressional ID pin. She says the officer should have recognized her. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on, and you're done.
And what is going on? Welcome back to the program. Hour number 2 of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is not here. In fact, he's far, far away. He's vacationing. Patrick Morrow is my name. I'm just one of the several people that's going to be filling in for Peter over the course of the next week. But we're going to be getting your phone calls as we progress here. 899-5792 if you reside within the 831. And toll free, 888-579-2540, streaming at krxa540.com. And we're going to be talking about immigration coming up next hour. Is there really an immigration crisis? Or again, is it just something to get you focused on something else rather than Iraq or the administration or just other stuff that ultimately is more important? It's just created by politicians or Bill O'Reilly. Or how about the freelance sociopaths that patrol the border down there? Okay, there's definitely an issue, but we will examine the Senate bill and the House bill, and we will get to that shortly. But man, there's so much looming disaster out there. You got the bird flu to worry about, right? Even before terrorism. And if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area or the Monterey Bay Area or anywhere in Northern California, anywhere along the San Andreas Fault, earthquakes have got to be something that you think about from time to time. I know I do. And we actually had one on Saturday. We don't know if anybody felt that, but that was a 4.3, a fairly legitimate shake near King City. It was on the San Andreas Fault, and as we approach the 100-year anniversary of the big quake of 1906, we thought it'd be interesting to have someone on, an expert, to talk a little bit about earthquakes. And Steve Walter of the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquakes Hazard Team joins us. Steve, how are you?
Just fine today, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, did you feel the 4.3 on the San Andreas Fault near King City on Saturday morning?
No, and I'm a little disappointed because I was actually down in Monterey that morning when it happened. And And I halfway expected a 4.3 might have been felt that far west.
Yeah.
It's also kind of interesting. I was down, this earthquake on Saturday occurred very near the Pinnacles. And about 5 years ago, I was down there for the weekend visiting, and there was a magnitude 5, pretty much the same location. Woke up everybody in the campground that night, except I was sleeping in my Volkswagen camper, and I just assumed somebody'd rolled over, and I didn't wake up, so I missed out on the big one.
Yeah, you had some decent shocks on that camper, I guess. And, you know, I remember in 89, I was in San Francisco during the 89 quake. There were people that were in their cars that said they honestly didn't really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this monster thing that everybody felt that shook for quite a while. I think people that were in cars kind of could almost see something was going on, but they didn't feel it the way that people that were on the ground felt it. But again, it's on TV, it's in the media, and it is in the back of everybody's mind. But it doesn't seem like after what happened down in the New Orleans area, the hurricane and the response or lack thereof, and the utter mayhem that transpired afterwards. I mean, don't you think that would inspire just about everyone to go out and put together as complete an earthquake preparedness kit as they possibly could?
Well, you would hope so. I know it did me. I mean, I've been putting it off for years, and that activity, that disaster in New Orleans, reminded me, you know, that it happens without notice, and when it happens, it's too late. You have to do it beforehand.
Now, you go into some detail on the USGS website. People can go to quake.usgs.gov, and there's some really cool animations. I recommend people check it out. And also, you talk about what to do to get prepared. But for people listening, what is an earthquake preparedness kit? What does something like that even consist of?
Well, there's two of them that you should, at least two that you should have. One is your personal kit that you maybe would keep in a car, because we all spend a lot of time in our cars commuting, and chances are about 1 in 3 that you're going to be at work when the quake happens, and you may only have the stuff that's in your car to get you through. So a personal preparedness kit would include, you know, a simple first aid kit. If you have medications that you have to take every day, you should have some extra stored in your personal disaster kit, so that you aren't left high and dry if you have to stay at work that night for a couple days in some cases. Bottled water. You know, you might need some snacks to get you through. A flashlight's always a good idea, and a portable radio to know what's going on. Although I suppose if you're in your car, you have your car radio for that too.
Right, and of course, if something major happens, even a kit like that might let you last for a little while. But
well, it's not going to replace the big one you should have at home, because that's the one that's got to get you through at least 3 days. More likely, it'll be 5 to 7 days.
So what are we talking about? A lot of canned food and water and the typical supplies?
Recommend a gallon of water per person per day. So if you figure 5 days, that's 5 gallons of water per person. A much more elaborate first aid kit. In fact, I just went to a disaster preparedness training this morning, and the emergency manager from the fire department there said that the gauze that comes in most first aid kits is going to be way insufficient. I mean, if you think about it, a big earthquake is likely to shatter windows. If your office is near a big window, some people are going to have some serious cuts, and a little Band-Aid's not going to do it. You're going to need some really big gauze or material to apply the compress to.
You know, I was reflecting on this, Steve, just myself, just in the last couple of days, actually in the last 24 hours, that we if we live in the area, we think about earthquakes, we know it's a possibility, but when you think of major earthquakes in 100 years, we've had two, where, you know, I'm watching the news on Sunday night, and down in Tennessee, a tornado just whips through there, and boom, 14 people dead. So obviously different parts of the country have more susceptible to different natural disasters, but it is interesting to have something in the back of your head and really to prepare for something that, quite frankly, that doesn't happen very often, and obviously we're hoping doesn't happen at all.
Yeah, we've been lucky. You know, the last 100 years have really been sort of the best period in the Bay Area, because 1906 basically released the stress on the faults in the area. So All the growth that's occurred in the Bay Area has sort of occurred during the prime time. But we know that stress accumulates at a certain rate, and it's getting back to the levels where we might be expecting more activity and larger quakes on the order of the Loma Prieta. Loma Prieta is probably an example of this sort of quake we could expect more of in the future.
And how do you go about quantifying the likelihood that something like that could transpire?
Well, there's a couple ways to go about it. There's a lot of lines of evidence that come together to put together a probability map. And we've done that for the Bay Area, first place in the country where we've tried to quantify what the probability of a big quake is. And one of the important things is knowing how fast the plates are moving. And it turns out that that's a very uniform 4 centimeters a year. We thought maybe it, on average, was 4 centimeters a year, but we've put GPS stations up in the Sierra and out in the Farallones, and you can go and make that measurement every couple of days and see that the plates are moving at a rate that's equivalent to 4 centimeters a year, and it's very uniform. So the plate motion is just a given. Trouble is, our history here only goes back, about 200 years. So our record of big earthquakes is very limited. And the way around that is to dig trenches across the known faults. And a good geologist can see evidence in the offset strata that indicates big earthquakes have occurred in the past. And if you're lucky and there's some carbon, some burned wood or decayed wood in there, you can get a carbon 14 sample and get a date. And what we see is that a lot of the faults around here have fairly regular large earthquakes. And so those lines of evidence and some others allow us to forecast what the probability is. And overall, the Bay Area looks like it's about a 2 in 3 chance of a big quake striking one of these faults sometime in the next 30 years.
Okay, we're going to step aside, Steve. Hold on just a sec. Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team is joining us. And again, quake.usgs.gov, interesting site. If you're interested in this, and you should be interested in this, because it is something that certainly could strike at any time. And if you have any questions for Steve, don't hesitate to call 899-5792. If you're within the 831 area code, 1-888-579-2540, the toll-free if you're listening outside the 831. And we will continue talking to Steve. And also, just go ahead and promo coming up our immigration discussion with attorney Deborah Notkin. Also, Beverly Bean from CaliforniaClean.org, trying to get big money out of elections. Certainly easier said than done, but something that is imperative and must take place. So we've got your phone calls. We've got a whole lot coming up. Patrick Morrow is my name, sitting in for Peter B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
And it is time right now to check traffic. Amy Knight for the KRX F540 ride home. Amy?
Lots to talk about this afternoon. In Watsonville, West 129 at Rogie Lane, an injury accident involving a big rig and a car blocking the westbound lane. A large amount of diesel fuel spilled in the lanes. Crews on scene clearing that. Also in Santa Cruz County, Highway 9 between Golf Club Drive and Glengarry Road in Felton. It will be shut down till noon tomorrow with down trees, power lines, and a mudslide in the area. Also watch out for some barbed wire southbound 101 at Airport Boulevard in Salinas. Also a lawnmower in the lanes as well. Preparation H relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
All right, Amy, thank you. Watch out for the lawnmower. Let's get back into it. Steve Walter with us from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team. www.quake.usgs.gov. Some pretty cool stuff. I like the modified intensity maps for the 06 earthquake plotted in shake map format. This is pretty cool stuff.
Oh yeah, shake maps is one of the newer products that tells folks where the shaking was the strongest, and that's what the emergency responders need to know where to concentrate their efforts. You remember after Loma Prieta, folks didn't realize how bad Santa Cruz had been hit for a couple hours. All the attention in the news media was focused on San Francisco and the Oakland Bay Bridge that collapsed, but in fact the strongest shaking was down in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and Santa Cruz, Watsonville, really were the ones that needed the attention immediately.
Definitely. We know in 06, though, that, you know, I said earlier it was April 12th. I'm sorry, it was April 18th was the actual date at 5:12 a.m. I know these numbers are probably stenciled in your brain.
Yeah.
But 06 was right in San Francisco, right? That was the...
Well, the epicenter started just off the Golden Gate, about 2 miles offshore. And then it ruptured south all the way to San Juan Bautista. And it ruptured north all the way to Mendocino, Cape Mendocino. And there's actually a very neat simulation that one of our researchers just produced that you can get on our website that will show the real-time rupture of the 1906 earthquake. You can watch it start off the Golden Gate, and a hundredth of a second at a time, you can see the waves move out. And then you can look at your favorite city and see how the shaking actually looked when the 1906 earthquake happened. San Francisco just really takes it on the chin. But surprisingly, Santa Rosa, which is quite a ways from the fault, also saw some of the strongest shaking in the area. Yeah. And it turns out that the valley that Sonoma or Santa Rosa's in tended to amplify the shaking and trap the energy. So it shook much longer than anyone would have thought otherwise.
Hey, Steve, I've always been curious about this. Well, we see, certainly recently, heavy seismic activity around the world. The Richter scale going into the 9 in some places. Everybody knows about the tsunami, but there have been other major quakes. Does that have any relation, or does that make you as a scientist believe, or I mean, I guess it's more than belief, certainly as a scientist, that does that have an effect on what could happen, say, on this side of the world, some of this heavy activity on the other side of the world?
Not likely. We're just on different plate boundaries, and it's not likely that an earthquake on the other side of the world would really have an impact here unless one of our faults was just ready to go and all it needed was a little bit of a nudge. Now, we do know that does happen, that earthquakes can trigger earthquakes on adjacent or even somewhat distant faults. But to have it happen from the other side of the world, that hasn't been observed before as far as I know.
Okay, I didn't think so. And I mentioned the tsunami. What about the West Coast? And what about an area like the Monterey Bay Peninsula? That area, I believe I've read that is susceptible to
a tsunami. For sure. The 1964 Alaska quake, that was a 9.2 or so earthquake, produced a large tsunami, actually killed people up in Crescent City. People who went down to the beach to watch the wave come ashore ended up getting washed away by it. Monterey Bay is probably somewhat protected because waves come into a bay and they tend to disperse. The point itself, the wave would be focused and the waves would actually be higher at the point. So depending on where you live, a tsunami is going to be more or less of a problem.
Definitely. So we have just a short period of time, but I guess your advice to anyone would be to go out and put together that earthquake preparedness kit.
Yeah. There's really no excuse not to have a plan in place and a preparedness kit for your home. Talk it over with your family, especially your kids, because if you think about it, the chances of you being separated from your kids after that quake strikes is pretty big. And if people don't have a plan in place, it could be a lot of unhappy kids, a lot of unhappy parents.
Hey, could the 4.3 that took place on Saturday morning on the San Andreas Fault, could that be evidence of something bigger to come?
No, not likely. That happened on what we call the creeping section of the San Andreas. There's always lots of twos and threes and then these occasional fours and even a five that I felt or almost felt a few years ago. So that section of the fault is actually releasing a lot of the strain. So none of those earthquakes really are a predictor of bigger ones to come, in the short term anyway. What we do know is that bigger ones will come on these different faults in the Bay Area, and that's where the attention is focused right now.
All right, very good. Hey, Steve, I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us the lowdown and your expert opinion, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, Patrick, I'd love to do that.
Okay, great. Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team joining us, and I've said it like a million times. I'm going to say it again, though. Quake.usgs.gov. Cool animations of, like, the 06 quake and just all sorts of Northern California seismic activity. Just kind of exciting, but I don't know. I mean, you look at what happened down in New Orleans, I would think that you'd go out right now and put together a preparedness kit. You know, I see where all these people are turning down the job for the head of the hurricane season is just around the corner, and the U.S. cannot get a new disaster chief. Nobody wants that job. Michael Brown wound up being a scapegoat when Chertoff probably should have been the guy that got the axe, but he didn't. But, it used to be Bush's buddies got the job, but now they realize, hey, you need to have a little bit more of a background than being the commissioner of the International Arabian Horse Association, as Michael Brown was. Or how about the guy that was the guy that preceded Brown, Joe Alba, was a Bush campaign manager. Makes you feel good. Go put that kit together. Go put your kit together. All right, we are creeping towards our bottom of the hour break. Coming up, though, we have plenty more program, including your phone calls at 899-5792 and the 831-888, toll-free, 579-2540. If you happen to be listening outside the area. And we're going to be talking about immigration reform coming up next hour. Deborah Notkin's going to be joining us. We'll talk about the plan from the House versus the plan from the Senate. But coming up shortly, in a matter of moments, Beverly Bean is going to be joining us from the California Clean Money Campaign. I think we all know that it should be the officials. Officials should be accountable to the voters and not to the people with the big money. We will get into that on the other side. Patrick Morrow is my name. Sitting in for Peter, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Frank Don. Beginning Sunday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss the astrology of personalities, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Learn how astrology can help you make better life choices. For more about me, visit frankdon.com. Join in every Sunday beginning April 2nd at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, we're back. What's going on? Patrick Morrow sitting in for Peter B. on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hope your Monday's going well. 33 minutes past the hour. Might wonder what time it is. There you go. And coming up, we're going to be talking about a number of things, including 9/11. We know that a lot of people have profited off of 9/11. the whoring of 9/11, as I like to call it. And now Hollywood is starting to get involved. Inside Man is a movie that's going to be coming out about Flight 93. And we will talk about just the fact that is it too soon? When is too soon? I mean, things like World War II, Vietnam, major events with serious impact have been now almost trivialized in entertainment, whether it's movies, video games, things like that. And now, here we are 4.5 years away from 9/11, and we're starting to see it in cinema. And we'll examine that and take your phone calls on that a little bit later in the show. 899-5792 if you're in the 831. Otherwise, toll free at 888-579-2540. And we'll be talking about immigration as well coming up next hour. Deborah Notkin will be with us. And we will talk about just whether or not this is really a crisis or if it's just something created by politicians and guys that do talk shows and, I guess, women too. We will examine this issue from a number of different sides and also take an up-close look at what the House proposes versus what the Senate proposes. But right now, we turn our attention a little bit closer to home. And I guess these are all issues that hit pretty close to home. But big money and politicians, big money influencing elections. This is something that you really should care about. And we have a couple of people on to discuss this a little bit. Beverly Bean and also Aaron Cervantes talking to us from California Clean Money Campaign. First, Beverly, how are you? We thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Glad
Excellent.
To be here.
And good. We've got Beverly. Aaron, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
And
good to have you on the program. And let's start with Beverly. And I mean, as I mentioned, the crux of the issue, it's pretty obvious. It's something that you almost scratch your head and wonder why more people don't embrace, or at least more people don't get up and get angry about this, but they don't. The fact that big money influences elections. And obviously anybody who thinks that the people who wind up in these positions, the public officials, I mean, who should they be accountable to? Not the lobbyists. Go ahead, Beverly.
Well, we certainly agree that the people need to have representatives accountable to them. I think people just tend to go along believing democracy is working. You know, you hear all the words, but basically what it is money is working. And the Clean Money Campaign is an attempt in California to change that process. When Schwarzenegger became governor, he said that right at the start. He said that the money comes in and the favors go out. And then he proceeded to prove it by gathering more money in his first year even than Gray Davis did. The funding is completely out of control. The special election that he promoted most recently, $300 million. Think what we could have done with that money. And who wins? The special interests that contribute the money. There's so many examples. I don't know if that's what you want me to talk about.
No.
Would you rather hear the solution?
I think that's on track here. And let me jump over to Aaron and let me ask you. I mean, we hear the name Schwarzenegger and we hear big name celebrity politicians that everybody knows about. But how far does this trickle down? How far does the reach of big money? How low does that go in public office?
Well, I think it goes in both directions as far as parties are concerned. And, you know, it's easy for an individual who donates $10,000 to $15,000 to get on a phone call with either the governor or another elected official and get that public official on the phone and speak to them about an issue that concerns them. Whereas in reality, it's very difficult for, you know, Joe Voter out anywhere in California to pick up the phone and call the governor or any other elected official and get, you know, work done on their behalf. And we just think that that's just an inequity in this state and in this political system, not only here in California, but in the nation as a whole. And that's what the California Clean Money Campaign is trying to fix here with our legislation, AB 583.
Yeah, I mean, we see it all over the place. We see it in Washington. I mean, you see John Ashcroft setting up shop as a lobbyist now, peddling his favors and his contacts for big money. And that's an example of it at the national level. But let's get back to Beverly. What first and foremost, what at the grassroots level can be done to try to root this out?
Well, I think when you mention the national level, the point is that so many states and people in them have concluded that we're going to have to fix it at the state level first. And if enough states fix it, it's got to carry up to the national level. But California Clean Money is patterned after states that have already adopted this. This is not a brand new thing that nobody's ever done before. Arizona, Maine, most recently Connecticut, these states are running all their state elected offices, both the governor and all the executive offices and the legislative offices, be it assemblies or senates, on clean money, which basically is a voluntary system in which the public finances your campaign. Therefore, you don't have to spend all your time raising money. You can talk about the issues and you can represent the people when you get elected.
That sounds good, but how do you keep that big money from infiltrating?
If you elect as a politician, if you choose to run clean, you sign a legal contract that says you will take no money from anyone, including yourself. The only money you will use to run your campaign is funded to you through the state program.
Yeah. Liable
to no one.
The best story that I could say regarding this is we've spoken to a number of Arizona legislators who, before Clean Money, would not have had an opportunity to actually run for office. And they were great people who came from the community, but because of financial constraints, they really didn't have an opportunity. Well, once they did run for office using Clean Money, they didn't have to speak to lobbyists. They weren't forced to go and speak to them. What they did is they had the ability to speak to their supporters and actually get out and pass legislation and public policy for the people of their communities, which is somewhat of a novel idea, it seems sometimes, because in reality, the corporations and other special interests in this state and this country have controlled politics in California and the United States for such a long time.
I am talking to Aaron Cervantes, who was just speaking, also Beverly Bean from the California Clean Money Campaign. And, we're basically in a time where if you have a lot of money, you have a good chance of, you have money, you have an agenda. The money helps you make it happen, but it seems hard for me to believe that the vast majority of the public, I'm not talking about people that have money, but the public who wouldn't embrace this, Beverly. It seems like that this is something that in a democracy people would almost demand.
It seems to me that the people are demanding it, and the legislators are hearing it in Sacramento. This AB 583, the California Clean Elections and Fair Elections and Clean Money Act, has passed the Assembly. It is now in the California Senate, going through the committees. And in fact, the Election Committee in the California Senate will be hearing this bill, scheduled for discussion tentatively on April 19th. And Deborah Bowen is the chair of that committee, a strong supporter of clean money. This is moving through. Our representatives know that it is the only way that we're going to clean it up. And it is completely legal in the sense that it is voluntary. No one has to be clean if they don't want to be clean. You want to run a dirty campaign, take all the money from the lobbyists, the people will know that. You know, running clean is a huge advantage.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, it just seems like the people that would take the money, would have some sort of spin on what they were doing that wouldn't make it seem quite as devious as maybe it would seem.
You can fool some of the people some of the time. I think Californians are pretty fed up. If we have clean money, the people will realize the difference between a candidate running clean and one who isn't.
Aaron, do you see this as a model for eventually for everyone in the U.S.? I'm talking about every single state. Do you think that it will be prevalent throughout?
Well, definitely Maine and Arizona have proven that this system can work. Like was said earlier, it just actually passed in Connecticut, and we're seeing also municipal levels, like here in Los Angeles, discussing clean money as a viable alternative to the current campaign system. And so this is definitely something that we look forward to getting out and working with people across the nation to spreading the word on clean money, because it really just changes the way the political system should work for the people who elect these elected officials.
Hey Beverly, it seems like the people with the big money that we almost want to demonize them a little bit, but there must be some argument in favor of what they're doing and against clean money. What would the argument be?
Well, I've heard some attacks on clean money, but they go along the lines of it'll cost too much. And the answer to that is simply that the maximum cost is capped at $5 per Californian over the age of 18, $122 million per year. The money that is spent, that is lost through corporate loopholes that exist in our current system that benefit the rich, annually we could save $385 million if we had legislators who were willing to represent the public interest and not the interest of the very rich. The yacht loophole, all kinds of depletions. There's a lot of places that more money can be saved than this will cost. Other attacks on clean money, it suppresses free speech. Why should public money be, spent for, why should a liberal candidate have money, a conservative would say, or vice versa? Why should my tax dollars go to a conservative candidate? Basically, it's voluntary, and it's constitutional, and it increases free speech. It gives a voice to people who can't currently be heard, people with good ideas who can't possibly run for office because all it is based on money.
Yeah, I mean, it could really change the political landscape, and unless you're a card-carrying member of the Old Boy Network, I think you would probably be in favor of this. And, Aaron, I know that this, swept through the Assembly, and now it moves on to the Senate. Would you encourage citizens to be writing their senators in expressing their fact that they want this to pass?
The reason why it actually went through the Assembly the way that it did is this was a piece of legislation that I think caught people off guard because they didn't really know until it got to the Assembly just how many people were behind it. And if it wasn't for the fact that we have so many great volunteers across the state, and we have so many people calling in, for this piece of legislation, this wouldn't have got through the Assembly. So we think it's extraordinarily important that people get on the phone and speak to their senators, to the speaker, to Don Parada up there in that area, and to their senators around there, just telling them that this is something that we want, and this is something that we need in California, because the system's broken, and this is something that can help to change and bring back people's faith in our government. So that's definitely something we'd like to ask people to do.
Okay, and I'd ask you both to hold on just a sec. We do need to step aside. We're at that part of the hour, 45 minutes after the hour, and we're talking to Beverly Bean and also Aaron Cervantes from the California Clean Money Campaign. We will continue with them. Also, coming up next hour, your phone calls at 888-579-2540. That's a toll-free number. You're in the 831-899-5792. We'll also talk about immigration reform with attorney Deborah Notkin. She will be joining us from back east. And we'll talk about the House bill, the Senate bill, and whether this is this as big an issue as people are making it out to be? Is it just sort of the issue du jour? Is it something that distracts most of you from what's going on in the Middle East? Or what's going on in Washington, D.C.? There might be something there. But we will continue. Patrick Morrow's my name. Happy to be sitting in for Peter B. And this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Ed Schultz, and I'm proud to be part of the lineup of the all-new KRXA 540, the new progressive talk station for the Monterey Bay Area. A year and a half ago, they said progressive talk wouldn't work, wouldn't be successful. Now my show is on 100 stations, and the audience keeps growing. Join me every day from noon to 3 right here on KRXA 540, followed by Peter B. Collins from 3 to 6. Tell your friends about the all-new KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
All right, it's time now for us to check traffic. The KRXA 540 ride home. Amy?
Well, things are getting better. Southbound 101, if you're traveling near Airport Boulevard in Salinas, that earlier barbed wire and lawnmower cleared out of the lanes, but still lanes blocked in Watsonville. Westbound 129 at Rogie Lane, an injury accident involving a big rig. The westbound lane still blocked and a large amount of diesel fuel spilled in the lanes. Highway 9 still shut down between Golf Club Drive and Glengarry Road in Felton with a mudslide. Crews hope to have the roadway reopened by at least noon tomorrow, and no new problems to report on Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for only $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy. Patrick Morrow is my name. With you here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is vacationing. He will be back next week, and we'll get to your phone calls coming up next hour, 899-5792, also toll free at 888-579-2540. But with us still, Beverly Bean, and also Aaron Cervantes from the California Clean Money Campaign, and get back to you guys. Beverly, a couple of things. It's interesting that this is passed in Arizona and in Maine, because in terms of demographic, we're talking about very different places. And I just was curious about the success of clean money in those two places.
I'm going to defer to Aaron on that one.
Okay.
He's got a broader picture. But I would like to come back after that and talk about some of the local things.
Absolutely.
Very local to us.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Actually, there's been a number of great things that have come up as a result of clean money. There's been an increase in the amount of minorities and women who have run and actually won office seats. It's also increased the amount of people who actually are going out to the polls to vote, because it seems to make people believe that the government's actually working for them again, and it reaffirms their trust in the government. And so it's actually helped, you know, a number of ways, and those being the two most important that I believe.
Okay, and on that note, we'll get to you in just a sec, Beverly, but as the you're the Latino coordinator.
Yes.
Aaron, and just in terms of California and a changing demographic, I think it would probably be similar to what's going on in Arizona in terms of people coming over the border and the population changing a little bit, but how do you see clean money from that point of view?
I think the way that I look at it is the demographics of California have changed tremendously over the last couple of years, and from what I understand, in the next 5 to 10 years, Latinos will be the majority in this state. And so my position specifically focuses on speaking to Latino communities, be it professional communities, union organizations, and whatnot, because we understand that in order for this to pass in California, due to the change of demographics, the Latino community has to support this. So, you know, I go out and I'm going to speak to the Mexican-American Bar here in Los Angeles and to various unions and other organizations like that. And, you know, we start seeing people sign up and come on board because they believe that this can bring change to what they see as a broken government.
That's very, very interesting. And yeah, Beverly, you're in Monterey. And
right.
Just getting to what you're doing at a local level, I want you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things I wanted to mention. The Monterey Bay Area has a working group of the California Clean Money Campaign. The next meeting is April 12th at the Aptos Public Library, and we are active in speaking and promoting the Clean Money Bill to various groups. We have speakers available. We write a lot of letters, and that brings me to my second point. Locally here, our representatives, our assembly people, Salinas and Laird, both support clean money. Our senators, Denham and Maldonado, we don't know where they stand on it. It has been a pretty partisan vote in the assembly, But I would very much urge people to contact their local state senator and in writing and let them know how important clean money is, particularly Senator Maldonado. He prides himself on being a, quote, independent Republican. And this is one place where he needs to step up, as does Schwarzenegger when this bill comes across his desk. So write to Maldonado and join the local clean money campaign.
Of course, you bring up a lot of people who don't necessarily want a government for the people.
Everyone says they want a government for the people.
Sure they do.
Let's see what if their actions match their words.
Okay, Aaron, what is the next key date for this issue?
The next key date is April 19th at 9:30 up in Sacramento. We're hoping to get as many people to come up and help us support and lobby the legislature and show people that that this bill is extraordinarily important. We had it during the assembly. We had people come out. We had about 60, 70 people, which just blew people's minds because they'd never seen that many people for an issue. And so we need the same support, and we need people to be out there. And so also, too, let me just tell people if they're interested in finding out more about us, we have a website, which is caclean.org, and people can get online. We have a number of things they could read and some letters that they can write as well.
Okay, great. Hey, I appreciate you both taking the time and coming on the show. It's a very important issue, and we're certainly happy here to give you a platform. So Beverly Bean and Aaron Cervantes, we will look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you very much for having
us on. Thanks very much, Patrick.
All right, excellent. And again, that website is caclean.org. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, public officials, who should they be accountable to? To Jack Abramoff? Some guy that's going to be sitting in the can for a little while? No. To you, the people that vote for them. But that's not the way it is. But California Clean Money Campaign could change that. And again, it's been embraced in Arizona. It's also been embraced in the state of Maine, way up there. And California could be next, and who knows? This really could sweep the nation. I don't know why it wouldn't. I mean, it just makes sense. So, there you go. We're approaching the end of the hour. Coming up next hour, we are going to be taking your phone calls. And maybe you've been to the movies recently, and you know how you go and there's like a gazillion previews for just most of it crap? You know, like Bewitched again or something. Anyway, Inside Man is a movie on 9/11. It's happening. And they're starting to show previews for this movie around the country, and it has not really been met with the warmest of receptions. Is it too soon to be doing a movie on this? And we will talk a little bit about it. You know, Oliver Stone is also doing a 9/11 movie. I think it's also on Flight 93. Or no, it's not. It's on the whole thing. It's called World Trade Center. Nicolas Cage is in it. That's going to be coming out in August. But we will talk a little bit about this issue. I mean, is this something you want to go out and plop down $10 or whatever it costs to go to a movie these days to see? And I mean, with so much information online about it, you know, with A&E and the History Channel and all those people that do stories on this type of thing, like, why do you need to go out and see the feature film? I don't know, but we're going to discuss that. You know, I should mention as I say that, as I question why people would go do that, there was what was it called? I think it was called United 93, something like that, on A&E. They did a movie on it, and it was like the highest rated. It was Flight 93. It was the highest rated show ever in the history of A&E. So maybe there's a difference between like flipping on the tube and checking it out versus going out there and spending the $10 and getting the popcorn and do. I don't know, but we will examine that a little bit closer coming up next hour, and also. Immigration. Is it just a smokescreen to get people thinking about other stuff, or is it the real deal? Is it really a crisis, or is it something that doesn't come up time and time again in our history? Actually, it does. I mean, it goes back like several hundred years. It goes back to like when black people were trying to migrate north after the Civil War. They tried to try to put a lid on that. They tried to stop the Irish from coming over. They messed with the Chinese, the Jews, the Russians. So the Mexicans are just the latest. But we'll see. I mean, seems to me if you look at the history of this country, the economic boom in this country had a lot to do with people coming over here that weren't necessarily from here. But we will talk a lot more about that coming up on the other side. And joining us to do that will be Deborah Notkin, immigration attorney from New York City. She will talk to us a little bit about the issue. There's the House, there's the Senate, and we will tell you about the difference in both of those plans. But again, 899-5792. Patrick Morrow in for Peter B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The jury in the Zacharias Moussaoui sentencing trial has decided what he did is eligible for the death penalty.
Yes, he deserves it. 2,997 people proved that he deserves it.
Rosemary Dillard's husband, Eddie, rode into the side of the Pentagon on a hijacked airliner.
I'm glad that this part is over. I think the jury had a hard thing to do. I think the jury did a darn good job.
Next question is, does this first half of the jury's decision bode ill for Moussaoui in part two? CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Absolutely. I think the only way Moussaoui avoids a death recommendation from this jury is if they don't want to give him what he wants. And they would rather have him sit in a federal jail in Colorado for the rest of his life rather than execute him and see him become a martyr.
Moussaoui told the court today, "You'll never get my blood. God curse you all." The next phase begins on Thursday. Enemy bullets and the weather conspired against American forces in Iraq yesterday.
At least 9 Marines and sailors are dead and 3 more missing after 2 incidents Sunday in Al Anbar province. 4 of the troops were killed by hostile fire. The others were drowned or swept away when their 7-ton truck was rolled in a flash flood.
CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier. President Bush threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Cincinnati Reds game with the Chicago Cubs today. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer with the play-by-play.
More than 40,000 fans are on their feet as the former little leaguer from Midland, Texas heads to the mound. The 5'11 right-hander is wearing a Reds warm-up jacket. The pitch to Reds catcher Jason LaRue is high and away from the plate. The president, a baseball fanatic, clearly savors the moment, though, as he waves to the crowd and leaves the field as the Reds and the Cubs play ball. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Cincinnati.
Taking a ride in an airliner was once a grand affair. People dressed up for it. Everyone had a real meal and dined with plates, silverware, and cloth napkins, all part of the fare. Of course, those were the days of DC-3s and DC-8s and the Constellation. Now that we've seen so much progress, some airlines are charging for water. Even a flat little pillow costs a buck, and they'll hit you extra if you ask for an aisle seat or the window. Critics say the message is, shut up and take what you get and bring extra money if you're hungry. David Stempler at the Air Travelers Association says you ask for it by demanding low, low, low fares.
These old airlines are going broke, and there's red ink pouring out of the bottom of their balance sheets. And there's one thing worse than having to, you know, pay for some of these amenities, and that's having no amenities because you have no airlines.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 36 points to close at about 11,145. The Nasdaq gave up 3 points on the day, and oil prices, $66.74 a barrel, were up 11 pennies. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else?
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at REMAX.com. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Everyone can use a little help with dating and relationships. And now you have a great way to get it at Match.com. Because we're working with
the one, the only Dr. Phil!
Match.com will show you who. Dr. Phil will show you how.
The way you can make the best first impression is to be excited about who you are.
Come be a part of an online relationship revolution and see what we can do for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Type A law enforcers and military types want to be in charge. Offshore, the Coast Guard figures they are the men and the women. Then along comes the FBI.
During last year's week-long anti-terrorism drill, Top Off 3, two government agencies bickered. Justice Department Inspector General Glenn Fine says the Coast Guard claimed the FBI repeatedly blocked Coast Guard plans to try out a new team in a mock assault on a ferry off the coast of Connecticut. The FBI wanted to use its elite hostage rescue team. The Coast Guard ended up changing the drill scenario to circumvent the FBI. The IG says the plan that's supposed to address such conflict isn't good enough.
CBS News correspondent John Harchi in Washington. A Colorado woman outside Golden, already doing 30 years for throwing parties for high school boys in which she was one of the party favors, has pleaded guilty to violating her bond. Sylvia Johnson provided alcohol and drugs to the boys and sex for some. They were popular parties, we're told. Additional time may be tacked on, violating her bail provision. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
I mean... Can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
And what is going on? Welcome back. Hour number three of the Peter B. Collins Show. Patrick Morrow is my name, sitting in for the vacationing Peter B. And coming up this hour, we tend to get interactive on this hour, as most of you know. 899-5792 if you want to grab a line and be a part of the program. And if you want to call toll-free, if you're outside the 831, dial 888-579-2540. The show streaming on KRXA540.com. And we're going to be talking about the fact that all these 9/11 movies are starting to come out. It's going to be one coming out later this month. Also, Oliver Stone's film is going to be coming out in August. And is it too soon? Are you ready to go to the movies? Big greasy thing of popcorn and like candy that costs $5. Are you really ready to go embrace 9/11 at the theater? I'm a little surprised at how soon this is starting to hit pop culture, I guess you would call it. But we will talk a little bit more about that. But right now we turn our attention to something else that is very much in the spotlight right now. It's a real issue, don't get me wrong, but... I don't know. People seem almost more excited about this than they do about Iraq or the administration. But hey, it has far-reaching ramifications. I'm talking about immigration. And if you follow the history of this country, this happens fairly often where you get politicians and you get... Well, now we have a proliferation of media where people in the media get a hold of this thing and don't let it go. And I think that a lot of people that... don't know what's going on out there that are allowed to be spoon-fed their news, see this as the topic du jour, which actually it is when you talk about the fact that there's a House bill and a Senate bill And these are very different things. But we welcome a guest to the program right now to discuss this. Deborah Notkin, a partner in the New York City law firm of Barst and Mucamel. And Deborah, we welcome you to the program. And I can't believe how many stories I'm seeing around the country that sort of highlight an individual family and how the House bill on immigration would affect them, where you'd have people that have been in this country for like 20 years getting shipped home, and the people that are helping them out would potentially be criminals. It seems ridiculous when you think the havoc that plan would wreak on the criminal justice system.
Yes, it's an impractical bill. It's mean-spirited. It doesn't solve the problem of illegal immigration and why it happened, and acknowledge the fact that we have a broken system right now. We have many blended families with somebody in the family that's illegal that can't get their permanent residence under our laws now, even if they're married to a U.S. citizen and have U.S. citizen children. You know, the other thing, you're absolutely right. That kind of a law would absolutely burden our criminal justice system so greatly to prevent the just administration of criminal prosecution for real criminals. And also, I think we have to look at why do we have this problem. We have a broken system because our laws were crafted basically 60 years ago, and they really are not reflective of a 21st century reality. We have no legal visas for people to come here as workers to fill the lesser skilled jobs, to fill chronic work shortages. So that's created a situation where employers need these people. By any stretch of any demographer, we know that there are not and will not be enough U.S. workers to fill these jobs. And we keep families separated with our immigration quota system that creates a 5 to 20 year wait for people trying to come here legally.
Yeah, I mean that's well put. And I mean, again, if you look back over the history, it's immigrants that helped the U.S. In a lot of ways become the economic power that it is. And yet you have the thing that amazes me is you have so many people that they don't quite see the issue, yet they want to voice this strong opinion. They have no trouble eating strawberries in the morning that were picked by an illegal immigrant. They have no problem going to a place like Walmart. Remember, they were busted for hiring undocumented workers.
Right.
It seems like there's what the situation and the reality of this country is in terms of their relationship with our neighbors to the south and the people that come over. There's that reality, and then there's this agenda that's kind of being pushed. Where does this really leave us? The people that are supporting the House bill, it seems like if you think that through, and the criminal justice system is something that really hasn't even been talked about. In relation to that, it's just, I don't think it's even possible.
No, it's not. It's not a realistic system, and I think if you really talk to some of the congressmen that supported this, they'd admit to you that they know they're not going to be able to deport 11 million people. And, you know, we had an enforcement-only bill in 1996, and it didn't work then. It created bars to ever returning to this country if you overstayed your visa or jumped the border and then returned home. So we have people here who are illegal, who are captive because they'll be barred from ever coming back once they leave. So it's our immigration policy doesn't suit our economic needs or our family needs at this point. You know, it's not good that we have a huge number of people crossing the border illegally. Illegal immigration generally is not good for our country, but we need to reform our system by finding a safe, legal, orderly ways for people who should be able to come here, and that is going to take a lot of traffic off those borders so that we're in a better position to really police those that we want to keep out. You know, the smugglers,
definitely,
the human traffickers, the drug pushers, and others who would want to do us harm.
Okay, we are talking to Deborah Notkin, an attorney who is an expert on immigration, and we've just been discussing the House of Representatives bill, which would more or less legalize the witch hunts of undocumented workers. They'd be classified as felons. I mean, potentially their employers would be subject to prison time and fines. And
lawyers and church groups that minister to the poor, soup kitchens. I mean, it's draconian, and it's...
That's the word. But let's talk about what the Senate is proposing. It's certainly a more mild alternative to what the House is proposing. John McCain is in on this. Ted Kennedy also. Do you see the Senate bill? Why don't you start us out with some of the finer points of it? But do you see this as something that's certainly more reasonable? But do you see it as reasonable?
Oh yes, it's definitely more reasonable, and it's got the components of enforcement and employer verification, coupled with a temporary worker program that would allow the 11 million undocumented who have employers here to participate in it. It has protections for the U.S. workforce, which is an important component in this, and it has a long-term path to permanent residence for those who continue to stay here working and contributing. So it really solves the problem in an overall comprehensive way. And the other thing it does is it creates an H-2C visa to fill ongoing future flows of work shortages when we need lesser skilled workers. And this is very important. You know, that some of the politicians have been saying, well, this is not an amnesty, an amnesty is bad. But I think if we go back and really look at what happened with the amnesty 20 years ago, the problem was that it was just a Band-Aid over a deficiency, a growing sore that wasn't fixed. And that was that we didn't have a reasonable visa to either bring people here permanently in a timely way or through a temporary work program when we did have chronic work shortages in these sectors. So 20 years ago, we legalized about 3 million people, not based on their employment, but based on the amount of time that we were here, and had the illusion that this was going to solve any chronic work shortage forever. And, of course, demographics, as economy grows and people move into other fields, that didn't cure our problems. And they were projected problems at the time that have increased.
Were you surprised a week ago? I mean, when this story came out, when the House came out with their plan, I think kind of hit the news and people saw it, but I don't think people fully comprehended the issue until they saw down in L.A. and some other places in the West, the Southwest, people protesting, people marching in L.A., upwards of half a million people taking to the street. I mean, this is such a major issue, certainly for California, but obviously for the whole country, too.
Right. Well, yes. It started out with a demonstration of 100,000 in Chicago. There were demonstrations that were big for some of the cities, like Milwaukee had 30,000, which is the biggest demonstration they've had in a century. And, of course, it was topped by Los Angeles. And then there was one in New York. And, I mean, this has helped bring attention to the issue. The immigrant communities that are blended communities with legal, permanent residents, citizens, and family members who aren't legal, you know, just said, we've had enough. Children walked out of classes who said, you're going to deport my parents and grandparents. What am I left to do? So it did help bring the issue to the forefront.
Yeah, that is true. So, the Senate bill, I guess, highlighted by, they're talking about 12,000 Border Patrol agents, 1,000 immigration investigators. It seems like the Senate bill is poised to maybe enforce the existing laws to approach it from that standpoint versus what this thing in the House is proposing.
Right, with criminalization and building a wall. And the Senate bill also says we have to put in some funds and have some smart technology on the border that's available to us now. So I think the Senate bill has a balanced approach, looking at better enforcement measures, creating a better employment verification system. So, you know, once employers have an adequate workforce, they also have to have the obligation of making sure that their workforce is authorized to work here, and allows these visas, allows people to come out of the shadows, to get a decent wage, to have worker protections. And in doing that, you're also protecting U.S. workers. So the Senate bill has an overall comprehensive approach. the McCain-Kennedy bill was really a wonderful stroke of a lot of analysis and a lot of compromising and working. Remember, Senators McCain and Kennedy are in two different parties at a time when partisanship is at an all-time high, and yet got together and put together the kind of bill that does have a workable approach.
All right, you know, we have just a short period of time. I wanted to ask this a little bit, not necessarily about the two bills, but just the fact in Mexico. I've read some stories about this, that with so many migrating north, how it's just really decimated some of the communities in terms of their culture and just what they used to be. It's now all about heading west, heading north, I should say, if you're to the south. I'm sure you've followed that closely yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think, though, that as people from this country, my association, which is the American Immigration Lawyers Association, of which I'm the president of, I'm also a partner, as you said, in Barstin Muckamal, you know, we have to approach it first from what's good for America. And what we know is that, you know, we're a country of immigrants. The countries in this world that have grown and flourished in part from having a good immigration perspective that brings in needed workers, whether it's the best and the brightest scientists or it's the lesser skilled workers, and we're competing with other nations for some of these people. So we know that for many states that are underpopulated, like Iowa, that have the meatpacking, North Dakota, they really need the immigrants, as do many industries. Americans are getting more educated. Americans want desk jobs. And there are not enough Americans entering the workforce that are going to be available to take these lesser-skilled jobs. So for our economy to grow, this is an important component of it. I love Mexico as a country. I don't want to see them badly impacted. Hopefully the Mexican government will be able to shore up their economy. But if we still need workers, we will find them wherever we can if we have a reasonable immigration policy.
All right. Hey, Deborah, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and giving us the lowdown, your opinion from the House bill to the Senate bill, and some of the talk in between. But, hey, Deborah, we will talk to you down the road, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Deborah Notkin joining us, again, a partner in the New York City firm Barst & Muckamal, and also the president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. And on that note, we are going to step aside, and we're going to get to your phone calls coming up, 899-5792. Are you going to go out and see that movie about Flight 93? Do you really want to spend money on that when you could be watching, like, some bad remake? That's what you could be doing. 899-5792 in the 831. Toll-free, 888-579-2540. Streaming at KRXA540.com. And we will continue with more. Patrick Morrow is my name. Sitting in for Peter B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets radio network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Okay, we're a little late for traffic, but it is traffic time. KRXA 540 traffic. Amy Knight?
A new solo spin out Highway 17 near Sugarloaf. Drive with caution as you travel through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Also, Highway 152 east of Bloomfield Road, getting reports of a new injury accident. Emergency crew is responding. Also, Highway 152 near Prunedale Road, reports of a separate injury accident, but they may be one in the same. Still reports of a mudslide on Highway 9 as you're traveling through Santa Cruz County between Golf Club Drive and Glengarry Road in Felton. Down trees, mudslide, and power lines. Crews hope to have the roadway reopened shortly. Now sleep free till 2007 at Sleep Train and on approved credit. There's no down payment, no monthly payment, and no interest for 12 full months. Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
All right, it is that part of the program. We get interactive. We talk to you out there. 899-5792 if you reside in the 831. If not, you can go toll-free. We'll pay for it. 888-579-2540. Patrick Morrow, my name, sitting in for Peter B. here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we'll go ahead and go to the telephone here. And we will start with Chris in Salinas. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, I don't know where you got that corporatist lawyer talking about immigration, and then you sit there and just buy the crap that's coming out of her mouth. You know, this country doesn't need any more workers, and we're already flooded with workers. There's 15 million citizens in this country that are underemployed or unemployed that would gladly work for a lot of the jobs, most of the jobs, if these illegal aliens, illegal immigrants.
That is not true, though.
It is
where,
true.
Where are these
it
people that are going to go pick vegetables and take
hey,
the
hey,
bedpans?
Hey, you know
out
if
of,
wages,
I mean, this is ridiculous.
If the wages go up, okay, then the people will do the job, okay? Now, the prices may go up, but guess what happens, huh? There's more buying power there with higher wages, okay?
Yeah, but, I mean, corporate America wants the cheap labor. I
no,
mean, they want
corporate
that.
America. Is corporate America good for the people? No, it's not good for the people. Corporate America is a cancer on the people.
Yeah, but, I mean,
small,
you still...
Small, medium business... are good for the people, but not corporations. And then we have nothing but these damn Democratic DLC nutcases steering the way.
Yeah, but I mean, cheap labor is good for everyone. And if you look at the history of America and the growth of America, it's on the backs of cheap labor. It's on the backs of immigrants. How do you think America developed into the superpower that it is?
Legal immigrants, like my grandfather, okay? You know,
yeah, but it's a different time. I mean, I know that. I mean, my grandfather
like
came through Ellis Island as well. But it's a different time, and it's coming from a different place. And you know, I go
time.
Back to you talking about the fact that these are jobs that people will do. I mean, where are these people lining up to do these jobs?
Hey, you used to make a good living being a guard. You used to be a good living to be a sheetrocker. You used to be a good living to be a framer. It used to be a good living to be a painter. Okay? Now don't tell me that these people are deluding, are stable labor market, and they are driving wages down, good wages, good jobs with benefits and health care and the rest. Now, don't give me that. It is just a lie. It is just a corporate lie to bring more people into this country. And besides that, Mexico needs to fix itself. And those people should be out there protesting in Mexico and looking for jobs and wages increasing in Mexico instead of sitting here flying their flag in our country and not even assimilating in this country.
All right. Hey, Chris, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do have to hit it. But you know what? You do bring up a lot of good points. You really do. We're gonna talk about some of those coming up on the other side. Is there a happy median? It's certainly not the House bill. That's not good. The Senate bill is better. But 11 million? We'll examine this a little bit more. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Please join me for an incredible hour of great talk radio. You call and we'll talk about any issue you can imagine. Dating, marriage, kids, divorce, dating after divorce, addictions, Monterey politics, and a lot more. You know, just day-to-day stuff. We'll have so much fun Saturday evening, 6 to 7, day-to-day with Sheila Gale, right here on Progressive Talk Radio, KRXA 540 AM.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat-out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-10. $10.99 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
All right, we are back at you here. What is going on? This is Patrick Morrow on the Peter B. Collins Show, sitting in for Peter B. There's that music. I was looking for that. Waiting for that until I talk. But, yeah, we welcome you back to the show. 899-5792 and the 831-888-579-2540. We had heard from, Chris in Salinas, really not into the illegal immigration thing. And he actually brought up a great point. I mean, it used to be you did make a legit living doing some of those jobs if you were sheetrocking or doing something. And here's where there's a problem, too, is chances are that guy that was doing that, making a decent living, was good at it or at least skilled or experienced. And now, I mean, you're not sure. Like, you get a couple guys going and maybe, nothing against them, but they might be just learning on the job. And, I mean, it is something. But I think you got to go back to what's going on with what the House is trying to do, which is just ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense. Criminalizing the illegal presence, as they call it, and also making it a crime if anybody aids an illegal immigrant. Doesn't make any sense. Talk about building the fences with the new security enhancements along the 700 miles of the U.S.-Mexican border. That's not going to work because they can dig. It's been well documented. They'd require businesses to verify the status of all 147 million U.S. workers. How'd you like to be the guy in charge of that spreadsheet? Also, we would restrict court review of immigration decisions to a single jurisdiction on the East Coast. A little dangerous, and it would deputize local sheriffs along the border. So, I mean, that's not even plausible. It would mess with the criminal justice system. But you look at the Senate bill, and, I mean, I think all that we can ask is that the existing laws are enforced, right? I mean, what are there, 11 or 12? You hear different numbers of the illegals that are in this country. I think you work towards just making the people that are already here legal. I mean, especially if they've been here for like 20 years. And then go down and enforce the laws on the border. And I think that's kind of what the Senate bill is trying to do. So we will go to the telephone right now, 899-5792 and the 831, and let's go to, we'll start with Dave listening in the Pinnacles. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I kind of tend to agree with the previous caller that, said that the increased competition on skilled and semi-skilled labor, and a lot of Americans now are working for less because of the influx of so many lower level educated workers that are coming to our country and taking a lot of these jobs. And it just seems to me that supporting this philosophy is a one way road that's going to lead to disaster. If we keep spiraling down the cost of wages, the standard of living is going to go down for people. We've already seen this. Healthcare prices are just spiraling out of control. And it just seems like more what the plan calls, 400,000 people a year after this, the Senate bill. It seems ridiculous to have this many people coming into our country at one time.
Yeah, well, I think we would have the same health care issues with or without. There would still be a major problem there. But I just don't know the feasibility of Plan 1 and going after people that are already here. I'm not sure that that's even feasible. I think you have to look ahead to Plan B and as I said, enforce the existing laws. But I mean, you got to do something with these 11 or 12 undocumented people. If they're going to stay, let's document them.
Well, that's one of the problems. Are they going to stay? Who's gonna support them? Who's gonna finally start coming up with a high enough wage to support them? I mean, as long as people aren't willing to pay them, I mean, how can the taxpayers already broke? We can't continue. Look at our county hospitals. You say that they haven't really had a direct influence, but look at Natividad, look at Cruz County Hospital. I mean, all the public services are just stressed to the max because of the illegal situation.
Well, that's true. I'm saying I think we would still be in a pickle with or without. But I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't have an effect. But I mean, well, so what's the answer? I mean, what is your solution?
My solution, this is a kind of unconventional solution. My solution is when there's a fire, you fight it at the source. When there's a flood, you turn off the valve. The problem is, like the other caller said, the problem is in Mexico. If we started investing money, giving people tax credits, putting pressure on the Mexican government, including Latino groups up here that really need to take their country of origin, they need to take it back. They need to end the corruption. They need to end poverty and get Mexico in line. If Mexico was as nice as California, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right. And that's a great point. And, hey, Dave, I appreciate the call. And, yeah, unfortunately, the opportunities are not available down there. Mexico is a broken country. But what do you do if you shut off the valve and all of a sudden nobody's coming over? And I'm sort of thinking out loud here. Then what happened? I mean, look what's going on. Look what happened in Egypt. I mean, you're just gonna, like, no economic possibilities for anything. We'll continue though. Let's move on here. 899-5792, toll free at 888-579-2540. Let's talk to Ren listening in Salinas. What's up, Ren?
Hey Patrick.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Thanks for taking the call. Well, I just heard the two last callers, and I guess I have to disagree. I don't think, first of all, if the corporations, if this country really wanted to crack down on illegal immigration, they would be able to secure the borders. The reality is they want these immigrant workers to come over here to do the jobs at the low wages. So it isn't, from my perspective, it isn't the immigrants coming over here that are causing the problem. It's the bad corporations that are making this happen. And the reality is the labor movement needs to get its act together and support these immigrants, get them organized, and get the wages up. Because I tell you what, you wouldn't have people working on Wall Street if they were making $5.15 an hour, okay? So that's what you got to do. We got to raise the wages here. We've got to band together to make sure that every person, whether they're illegal or legal, has the opportunity to sort of make the American dream come true. We're on a spiral downhill in this country, and we've got to make a difference. And it cannot be on the backs of illegal immigrants. And I hate when people call them illegal immigrants. They're undocumented workers. And they, you know, it's true. I do agree with Chris that Mexico is part of the problem. Vicente Fox has not been, you know, taking the leadership role that he needs to take, that government needs to take. But I also understand that some of the border states in Mexico are working cooperatively with the Arizona governor and the governor of New Mexico. So there are some bright spots there. But that's what I had to say.
Good call, and I do appreciate it. And, yeah, I think we can all agree that there's something wrong down in Mexico. There just are no opportunities down in Mexico. I don't know how you can blame the guy that wants to come north for a better life and make a little bit of money. I don't think you can blame that guy. But, yeah, I mean, look at the government. The government doesn't do anything, and so more people come in, which does drive wages down. Plus, what about all those jobs that leave the country? What about that?
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then the corporations here, they've got a real sweet deal going on because they get these undocumented workers up here to work very hard at many times below minimum wage. And then, of course, they don't give them any benefits like health care or pension plans. And these folks then end up at the welfare office for Medi-Cal, for food stamps to supplement their income on the taxpayer's expense. Now, whose fault is that? Can you say that's the illegal immigrant's fault,
or
can you say that's corporate America at its best and worst? I mean, this country's built on the exploitation of immigrants. And by the way, I believe my parents, I happen to be part Irish and part French, I believe that my immigrant family came over here illegally, too, because they were here long before Ellis Island.
You better be careful. They might, the Department of Homeland Security might come looking for you, Ren, with a comment like that. You got to be careful.
Bring it on.
Watch your back, Ren. Hey, we will talk to you.
All right, Patrick. Take care.
Thank you very much. Ren and Salinas giving up the line. Let's take one more before we break. 899-5792 and the 831, toll-free at 888-579-2540. Let's talk to Jake listening up north in Arcata. Jake, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just like to say to the last caller that I don't think she has to worry about the Department of Homeland Security picking anybody up. You know, Department of Homeland Security obviously isn't capable of much after Hurricane Katrina. I mean, I don't know why the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, hasn't been fired yet. I mean, how is
he
that
was the guy
get
too?
Job?
Michael yeah. Brown winds up as the scapegoat, and there's the classic footage of Bush calling him Brownie and patting him on the back and all that crap. But yeah, Chertoff, if you look at the chain of events and the order of command and what is supposed to happen in that type of situation, he was the guy that was supposed to seize the day, and yet there's footage or there emails or some of him saying that he was waiting for a command from the White House when that's not what he's supposed to do in that job.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. I mean, these were the guys in charge of moving the pieces around. And, you know, it wasn't the mayor of New Orleans, you know, who was in charge. It was the federal government, and they fell down on the job, and Chertoff should be fired. I just like to mention something. I don't know if you heard about this, but Catherine Harris, and as listeners know, of course, Catherine Harris was the Secretary of State in Florida in 2000 who threw the electoral votes to George W. Bush. She also served as George W. Bush's campaign manager in 2000 in Florida while she was Secretary of State. You know,
she's
no conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Well, her entire campaign staff basically quit on her this weekend. In fact, they told her that she should quit her race for the Senate in Florida, that she's embarrassing the Republican Party. And I just thought it was interesting to point out that this person who had, you know, basically given us the Bush administration against our will, her political future in Florida is going up in flames fast.
Wait, and the person who sold their soul abandoned by the party for which she sold her soul for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Now they're telling her to get out of the race. If it wasn't for her, George Bush wouldn't even be president in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, we appreciate it, Jake.
Thanks.
All right. We will talk to you down the road. And we actually will step aside. We want to be on time this break. We got a traffic update coming up, and we definitely have more of your phone calls. So we will get to those coming up. Grab a line, 899-579-2579-2540, 888. That is a toll-free number. You put the 888 first. But I'll talk a little bit more about this Flight 93 movie that's going to be coming out. Are you ready to plunk down your hard-earned cash and go see a movie about 9/11? I don't know. We will get to that story. I've also got a doomsday scenario that's something they're planning for over in Britain. I will tell you about that. But we will continue with more. 899-5792 and toll free at 888-579-2540. Patrick Morrow is my name. I'm sitting in for Peter B., and this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
All right, traffic time one more time. the KRXA 540 ride home. Amy Knight, what do you got?
Much better news for Scotts Valley. Highway 17 at Sugarloaf, an earlier solo spinout, has been cleared from the shoulder. Also, Highway 9 between Golf Club Drive and Glengarry Road in Felton, an earlier mudslide also cleared from the roadway. All lanes of Highway 9 reopened in both directions, so you're able to get home safely tonight. And in Gilroy, a new injury accident, Highway 152 at Bloomfield Avenue. It's a solo car that went off the roadway and overturned. Crews are on scene. And westbound 129 at Rogie Lane, we're still clearing that injury accident involving the diesel fuel spill. Wherever you go, Preparation H portable wipes are the easy way to cleanse, cool, and soothe. Four times bigger than Tuck's pad, Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Have a safe drive home. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
All right, very good, Amy. Thank you very much. And we welcome you back to the show. Patrick Morrow, in for Peter B., a vacationing Peter B. Happy to be holding down the fort here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Still, I don't think we've heard from anyone that actually felt the earthquake on Saturday morning. That thing centered in like around King City, a 4.3. That's some legit seismic activity, isn't it? 4.3, Monterey. Anybody right around there feel this thing? Maybe not, but we had that guy on from the USGA earlier in the show talking about maybe going out there and putting together that earthquake preparedness kit. I might look into that. But I've kind of promoted it throughout the program and have a little bit of time to get to it right now, and we'll do just that. Inside Man. You know what that is? Go Google it and you'll find out. It's a movie. I'm going to tell you. You don't even have to do it. I'll tell you. Inside Man. They're starting to promo this, starting to show previews around the country prior to other feature films. And the reaction seems to be that maybe it's a little bit too soon. A little bit too soon to have this type of thing in pop culture and in the cinema and in that type of a medium. But Hollywood is nonetheless going to go out there and try to profit off this thing. There's another one, too. United 93 is also going to be coming out. That is one that examines what happened. Flight 93. The 9/11 Commission says that the guys steering the plane crashed it. 9/11 Commission says that the passengers never actually got into the cockpit. If you go back and read that thing, but then again, the 9/11 Commission will probably look like the Warren Commission a lot sooner than the Warren Commission looked like the Warren Commission. But everybody's getting involved here. August 9th, Oliver Stone is going to be coming out with his feature film called World Trade Center. I don't know. It just seems something funny about plopping down $10 and expecting to see Nicolas Cage in an action film using 9/11 as the backdrop. But nonetheless, it is here, it is upon us, and I for one really, I don't go to movies anyway. I got a young kid. I don't have time for that, but I did see Siriana, which was good, but for the most part, don't make it out to any movies, and most of it's pretty bad. Most of them are unnecessary remakes. We know there's kind of a lack of originality in Hollywood, and this is a further testament to that they will jump on the 9/11 tragedy, and obviously a lot of people have different ideas as to exactly what transpired that day. And that aside, either way, I just can't imagine going and spending money on this movie. The director talked about going to great lengths to be respectful in his depiction of what occurred, and he said he only proceeded with the film after he secured the approval of every victim's family. But, there you go. There it is. 4.5 years later, I actually asked the question shortly after 9/11, at what point will we see the movies? At what point will we see this type of thing creeping into, like, the backdrop of video games, stuff like that? And the answer is maybe not as long as we, not quite as long as we initially thought, because here it is. But so many doomsday scenarios out there that don't even necessarily involve terrorism, right? I mean, we talked about the earthquake. That's something that's potentially looming. What about the bird flu? I don't know that even gets discussed enough. And I don't think that people will understand the potential ramification of that. I mean, if we're talking about this strain, this H5N1 virus, and if that thing's able to mutate into a form that could spread between humans, I mean, we're talking plague. Remember the Black Death? Not that you were there, but going back to the 1300s, I mean, it's estimated that that killed 35 million people in Europe. I mean, nothing. I don't think anything has shaped the world, the history of the world, and where we are now, more than the fact that 700 years ago, 35 million Europeans died because of this. And, man, there's a story coming out of Great Britain, out of the Home Office, that mass burials, this is something that you've got to look into this, and don't delude yourself into thinking that they're not thinking about it here, where if this does hit, it would hit California before it hit anywhere else. But coming out of England, the story is that these mass burials are being considered in prep in case this thing is able to mutate. So their worst-case scenario that they've put together, it's an assessment that suggests 320,000 people could die in Britain if it did mutate into the contagious human form. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to know what type of measures, precautions, preventions are being taken here in the U.S. Might have to do a little bit of research on that. But literally millions of birds around the country, or around the world, I should say, have been killed, have been slaughtered since this thing emerged. It's been about 3 years now, and about 100 people have died. But these are all people who had been in pretty close contact with the infected birds. So, again, not trying to be an alarmist here or anything, but something to keep an eye on. I don't know. Do you do a bird flu preparedness kit? Is that something maybe you could... could be in conjunction with the earthquake. But we are winding down the hour, and I just wanted to say how much fun it was sitting in here for Peter B. on the Peter B. Collins Show, and having a chance to talk to so many different people, whether it be callers, whether it just be our whole laundry list of guests that producer Matt Renner put together. And obviously the big story right now is the immigration story, whether or not you want to call it a crisis. I don't know. And the thing is these discussions that we're having, you can go back over the years and these discussions have been had, and you can apply these exact topics to other races and to other people coming to this country. And I know it's each and every instant is a little bit different, but I don't know that this is a crisis. I don't know that we're quite at that level yet. And in terms of a solution, I like Plan B more than Plan A. I like what John McCain and Ted Kennedy, I like what the senators are proposing versus the people in the House putting together a plan that even they don't believe there's any remote possibility of passing it. So why do you put it together? I guess to compromise down. But, I mean, they're talking about a plan that would criminalize the whole thing. It would just wreak such havoc on the criminal justice system, it isn't even possible. But I don't know. I mean, this is politicians have really made this the hot button issue. And hey, I'm sitting here in California. I know it's an issue. I know it's an issue in Arizona. I know there's other places in the country where it's an issue. But I honestly believe that there are far greater issues in the world out there. And I think that a lot of these, this is one of those issues that you flip on Bill O'Reilly you got to watch that, right? Not that you like the guy, but you just watch it to be outraged a little bit. You flip that on, that's what he's talking about. They're talking about it everywhere. Even Larry King, who one night's doing like a tribute to Don Knotts, I believe did something on immigration. So everybody's talking about it. It is a hot button topic, and I think it will continue to be so as we head towards elections, certainly this year, and as 2008 nears. Still a couple years away, but not too early to be thinking about it. But I did want to thank everyone who joined us on the program today, from Dennis Yedwed, Chief Communications Strategist for Media Matters. .org. Definitely check that out. Also, talking about the guy or the men and the women who are going to be running for office, most of them on the kind of on the left side. People who have served in Iraq, people who have served in Afghanistan, and they want things to change. So John Soltz, the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Committee, joining us. And also wanted to thank Steve Walter from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Team. And yeah, go out there and put that kit together. That's really not a bad idea. You know what? I'm going to do that when I get off the air. I'm going to look into that. And then Beverly Bean and Aaron Cervantes joining us from the California Clean Money Act, which is a huge issue. Anyway, thanks to all the guests. Thanks for everyone who listened. Matt Renner is going to be filling in for Peter on the program tomorrow, so be sure to check him out and give him a call, 899-5792 in the 831, 888-579-2540, toll-free. But we're out of time. I want you to have a good day. Patrick Morrow is my name, sitting in for Peter B. This has been the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You already know that Joe Rombies serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombies' incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombies' La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr.
It's not just for my husband. It's about what he did to the United States.
Family members of 9/11 victims like Rosemary Dillard and Kristen Breitweiser, who lost their husbands on the first half of the jury decision in the Zacharias Moussaoui case, he is eligible for the death penalty.
I would rather have the death penalty reserved for someone like bin Laden or Khalid bin Attash, Ramzi bin al-Shib, or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, because they had much more of a direct role in the murder of my husband.
If the government has its way, it'll be the death penalty also, not reserved for them someday. As for Moussaoui, CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart.
This only proved that he is eligible. Had they said he was not eligible, he would have gone straight to prison for life. Now they vote between life in prison at Supermax, the Florence Penitentiary in Colorado, or death by injection, which would be at Terre Haute Penitentiary at some date to be determined.
The final phase begins Thursday. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected the appeal by accused terrorist Jose Padilla, who challenged the president's powers to hold him. It's a big win for the White House.
The executive branch maneuvered this result deftly, worried it would lose at the Supreme Court even with its newest members on board. The president and the Justice Department decided instead to release Padilla from his status as an enemy combatant and turn him into a regular defendant in a federal court, which essentially made moot the grand constitutional questions of presidential war powers.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says at least for now the war powers question goes unanswered by the high court. Jonathan Fryman is one of Padilla's lawyers.
Three justices who voted not to hear the case said that they're going to watch it very carefully and that they think the case should come up very quickly if, in fact, the government changes anything about Padilla's status or conditions of custody.
The little town of Bradford, Tennessee, is a mess after last night's twisters. 1,200 people live there. 1,200 buildings have been damaged by the storm, along with hundreds of other buildings in neighboring towns, Dyer and Rutherford. Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen.
We have 23 people killed. 75 others injured. 17 of those injured are critically injured. Initial reports show more than 1,000 homes or buildings either seriously damaged or destroyed.